Welcome to the J Train Podcast with J Train Jared Free, coming to you live from the Southern Quarantine Cabin in Boca, Florida. We're here every Monday and Thursdays with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. That's how it works. You know how it works. You support the sponsors. You support the... You tell a friend. There's many ways to pay me for this beautiful piece of entertainment. Tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa, anyone with ears. Then you can support the sponsors. We got all these things. If they don't help you, then that's fine. I'm not a pusher. You think you let them help you. That's one of those things. Oh, this product. This is something I'm looking for. Oh, Papa JT's giving you some free dough on top of that. So we're all helping each other. And listen, The Bachelor starts tonight. It is premiering tonight. As many of you know, I am a Bachelor commentator in my own right. So all you got to do, if you're going to watch the live stream, you got to share. Also, The Bachelor preview is out right now on Betches. I put out the preview every season. It's my favorite thing to write every season. All the contestants reviewed. So go. Read it. It's for your enjoyment. It's out there. FYE. It's out there. You read it right now. Have fun with it. Laugh at it. Share with a friend. If they watch or they don't watch The Bachelor. I mean, people, I brought the Haas right to your door. All you got to do, tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. That Bachelor preview, I love writing it. But it's gotta make me feel it. I gotta feel that your buddies was like, oh, I gotta get into this dude now that I've read this hilarious 30 contestants. I literally came down to Boca to write this thing. So if this is my Walden Pond of sorts, this is how I go off and spend. I go to Boca and I sit next to a loud Jewish woman yelling in my ear. That's how I find. That's my retreat. That's my writer's retreat. So I need you to go read it. Enjoy it. See, the first two are for you. The third one's for me. Share it. Let someone know. Make it your Instagram story. They're all on my Instagram right now. I can see into the future. 30 profiles, all on my Instagram. So share. The Bachelor tonight, the live stream. Also, the Rose rehash after The Bachelor. We're doing a rehash. We're bringing it back. The recap show, it's back. So that's all my plugs. Also shows, I'm going to be in Tacoma, Washington this weekend. Tacoma, Washington, Red Branch, New Jersey, that's coming up. Atlantic City, Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut, and then the Chicago shows, that's all happening a week in Chicago, so that's all good. So jaredfree.com for all the live show stuff. Very excited for today's guest. New to the podcast. I apologize. We usually go over before. Listen, I usually go over what to introduce you as. I don't know what to introduce you as, but I'll bring her on. A personality in her own right. Serena Kerrigan, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's actually Serena fucking Kerrigan.
Oh, excuse me. Serena fucking Kerrigan. Okay, yeah. Listen. Listen, put the kids to bed. They're done. They can't listen anymore. So Serena fucking Kerrigan, what would you call yourself? What you, cause I see your stuff all the time. What would you like? What would be the label, I guess?
I would say, no, I totally get it. It is confusing. You really can't put me in a box, which I think is my specialty.
Nor would we want to
ever. I would say it's like a mix of Samantha Jones in real life.
Okay.
Serena Vanderwoods in Reincarnated, the Queen of Confidence. Serena Vanderwoods in from Gossip Girl. I don't know if you picked up on the restaurant.
I didn't know Gossip. I'm not familiar with that world. I knew Samantha Jones. That's
okay, fine. That's really all. I really am Samantha Jones. The Queen of Confidence. I'm a professional dater. I had a dating show during quarantine called Let's Fucking Date. I dated 50 men on Instagram Live, and I'm still single.
So what was the? Well, if you're a professional dater, then what's the goal? Like that's the profession. You should be still single.
Right? 100%.
Yeah. Like, what was the goal?
I just wanted to let your listeners know that I'm still single.
Okay. It's just, in any case, anyone's wondering, listen, Serena's still out there, out, ready to go. So, when you go on 50 dates with 50 men, what is the goal there? Are you looking to show someone something? Are you looking to learn something yourself? What is the end game?
Well, when I started, it was March 2020 of quarantine, and I was like fucking bored and single and like jobless. And so I just thought it would be fun to go live on Instagram like everyone did. I remember like it was just like nonstop. People were like really abusing that format on the app.
Yeah. The beauty of it was when people would have like two people there. It was fun to see, like I would float into live rooms just to watch them talk to nobody. Like talk to me. This is now a phone call, you and me. Cause I like the fact that people were kind of bombing. Like it was them going on stage on the internet. You know, people, if you do a lot of stuff on the internet, you can get kind of down the wormhole of there's only trolls or people who agree with me. And that's not how the world works. There's trolls, there's people who agree with you, and then there's a lot of people who are like, shut the fuck up.
So,
I don't give a fuck. So that was the moment of like virtual bombing that I kind of like enjoyed myself, to tell you the truth. Yeah. So you were going on live and you were like, which is actually, because I know on this podcast, we had a lot of people that are like, the quarantine's happening, I'm stuck inside, how will I ever date? This is an inspiring thing to me, is that to see someone dating and doing it.
Yeah, I did it. I mean, quarantine's over, thank God. But I did it for a year. I had three seasons of my show. I had the whole show sponsored by Bumble and a bunch of brands. I created a card game. Like, I did it right. And I learned so much about myself. And I think that the question that I get asked the most as this, like, dating expert now, which is hilarious because, like...
Do you consider yourself a dating expert?
I think I'm a dating expert. I'm not a relationship expert.
Okay.
But I understand dating. Like, I understand, okay, like, what to do on a date, how to act. Like, I think I've got that down.
Sure.
I'm sure there's going to be a troll that's like, if you were so good at dating, why aren't you in a relationship? But personally, like, I don't want to fucking settle. Like, I'm not going to settle for the first guy that, like, you know, comments on my Instagram.
Well, as we say on this show a lot, and I never consider myself an expert. I would always say that I have a loud opinion on the things going on, because I've seen, you know, similar things in my own life, and I know how I feel, and how I feel has to be within 10% of the person's feeling across from you. So it can't be that much different. But
100%.
I think with, you know, the dating stuff, it's easier to say it, to look at someone's thing, you know, high line impressions than when you're in it, you know, like relationship, you know, all advice is easy to give and hard to take.
So easy to give. Like, what the fuck? I'm so good at giving advice. And I'm like, ugh. So I think ultimately I learned that, and this is what I tell my audience, is that people feel so nervous to go on a date. And I'm like, literally, it's a win-win. Either you get a free meal, free drink, you get laid, you come, which was like, God willing.
I mean, can't really count on that, but
or you really learn something about yourself. Like, even if the end result isn't a next date or a relationship, like you're just, when it rains, it pours. Like, when I go on dates, even if it's like a guy that I'm not really into, like a week later, I have three more lined up. Like, I think it's just like putting out that energy and like also just kind of getting a hang of it.
Do you think that sometimes that can become distracting towards kind of concentrating on the right person? Like, if you say, I'm going on 50 dates, date 28, okay, well, like, how does date 28?
It was 50 dates over the course of a year.
Like, I'm not, listen, no shame in the premise. I'm saying there's, you know, date 28, that goes well, but date 29 is on the books, because why wouldn't you put a couple of dates on the books? How do you concentrate on date 28 versus and kind of say, maybe I'll push off date 29 when you're equally excited for maybe both?
I think that analysis paralysis is such a thing. And I think that that's also a problem with dating apps. I feel like people never really, they have the one foot in, one foot out, because they're like, well, there could be another guy that swipes on me or whatever. And I think that is a problem. I think that for me, like, the show, what happened, even though there was a winner in the last season, that didn't end up working out. But like, I think
there
was
a winner.
Yeah.
So what did they?
But this was like The Bachelor. You would have loved my show, by the way. Like,
truly,
because like this was like The Bachelor, but real, because it wasn't edited and it was all live. And it was like the audience was also in the comment section, like telling me what to do and what to like ask the guy. And it was really, really fun. But
what type of guy is going, like, how are you meeting them on Bumble and then bringing them on to the thing?
They were all blind dates. I didn't know any of them.
Who sets you up?
I had a producer do it.
So people are emailing and I want to. Is there, like, when you're Serena fucking Kerrigan and you proclaim the queen of confidence, aren't you kind of putting out like a stake for a lion? Like, isn't that type of guy like a little performative in his 100% own right?
100%, which is why it didn't work. It like didn't work. I wouldn't recommend anyone to do what I did. I think it was really fucking entertaining and it built my career and I have a great, like, you know, amazing brand from it. But yeah, ultimately, like, at the end of the day, the guy that won, like, I think was just in it for the clout. And so was like the majority of the guys. So now, like, I'm not even dating. I don't even want to date on the apps because I think that when people see my profile, they're like, oh, she's a following, blah, like whatever. And they also assume that who I am. And I'm curious if this happens to you too. Like, I think that we have personas at work versus like with our friends or with people we're dating. Like, it's a different, I'm not saying it's a completely two personalities, but to some degree, like, I put on a show in my work. And I think that when I match with someone, they assume that that's just me and that I'm so much and so extra all the time. Well,
yeah, it happens a lot. I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is something that happens all the time with comics where it's like, so be funny. So let's, and it's like, it's almost a confidence thing, a lack of confidence, because it's like, so what are you going to, and I'm sure you get that where it's like, okay, Serena fucking Kerrigan, I better get a fucking rise out of you. Like, they try to go over the top when you just want to have a conversation where that's a little harder to do with someone. If everyone's a 10, you know, like, it's crazy.
100%. And by the way, like, before we started this podcast, like, the shift in energy, like, yeah, like, you know, like, you have so much energy when you are doing your job. And I think that, like, when we're not, like, we can't be on all the time.
No, you're putting on a show. I mean, like, I always say it, like, the podcast for, you know, the NPR where today we are going to discuss, like, that exists. I'm never going to be that. Like, there isn't an entertainment value. But, like, again, like, when you're going during a quarantine, during a pandemic, watching someone go on 50 dates, I can go on one. There is a positive influence of that. I can go on one FaceTime date, especially if we look back a year ago, you go, people were saying, should we go on a FaceTime date? And, you know, you're sitting out there going, yes, I'm going to do 50 of them, which is great. So listen, you have a card game out. I want everyone to go get it. It is called Let's Fucking Date. It's a card game and you can find it. Serena Kerrigan at Serena Kerrigan on Instagram. Go follow, get involved. Get involved with the card game. She's on Siesta Key this Wednesday. So how did you get, so Siesta Key reaches out there like, we want to, like, you know, change up the energy here. We want to.
Fucking duh.
Wait, I mean, come on. You're from the Upper West Side. You're going down to Siesta Key. I don't think this is like your crew, to be honest with you. Like,
come on. Was it at all?
Have you guys ever heard of Loomis Chafee? They're like, no, I've chafed. You know, like, what are you talking to these people about?
Zabar's.
Hey, do you guys want some challah from Zabar's? They're like, what?
Literally what? I think that was kind of the point, was to bring in someone with a different perspective and
shake it up. Yeah.
I definitely I'm not like fucking someone's boyfriend, like that. You will not expect that of me, but I definitely am offering just like a different, cause they get the drama that they like, they get there. It's very heated a lot. And I'm kind of like this like middleman, like, we need to like take a step back here.
It's almost like you get to do like the reunion episode of like a Bravo show.
I'm Andy
on
Cohen.
The fly. Yeah, yeah, you get to Andy Cohen it. Like, wait a minute, you're seeing who and you're hanging with what? You know, I would assume that could be a great role. That would be a fun role to come into like the mess that has already been made and try to kind of organize things.
100%. It's so fun because you're just like, oh, this has nothing to do with me, but like I'm down to give, if you're asking my opinion or not, I'm going to give it anyway.
Absolutely.
It was a roller coaster. I'm very curious what I'm not going to lie. I've been kind of like snooping around some of the fan groups because like I'm just so curious like how people react to a show of this caliber. They're so fucking critical. I mean, Facebook groups are so toxic. It's actually like meant to be crazy. But you know, a lot of them are like, she doesn't even go here. And I'm like, let's go. I hate her already.
She doesn't even, well, you are an outsider again, Upper West Sider coming down to the Florida Panhandle. Is that where it is? Is that where CS? I don't even know. Yeah. So hanging out in Sarasota. Like, you know, people only do that for 4 years when they go to college and then they leave. So this is an interesting thing, I would assume. So everyone go Siesta Key this Wednesday night, MTV, go watch. You're going to see Serena. Also, she has a very special announcement on Wednesday. So it's a very special announcement. I can't give it here, but you all have to follow her on Instagram right now at Serena Kerrigan. It'll be all over my social media so that you can be involved with the big announcement. So,
which is something is coming.
See, something's coming.
Yeah. And it's, if you are, you know, I think that for me, like, this is the summer of fucks, like fucking whoever we want, not giving a fuck, just doing things that fuck, like just enjoying your fucking life. And this product, this launch is going to help you this summer, and you're going to love it.
I love it. See, this is, you mentioned something, you're talking about like the dating apps, and it's like, I really do believe this is the IRL summer. Like, I really do believe in real life, meeting people in person. I've been out at bars in the Village, and it's just a different energy than what I was seeing years ago and even months
ago. I went to Fiddlesticks last Sunday, and I met... Why does everyone laugh when I say that?
Because you have to. Fiddlesticks is a punchline, but I do agree. It's a fun bar. I just haven't been there in years. Come on, you got to move over to Hudson Street. You got to age up a little bit.
West Village. I literally, like, I just was across the street, and I was like, oh, like, that could be fun.
Let's go look. Yeah.
It was on a Sunday, too. Like, it was
I get it. Like Sunday, like, I the night before I was out, and a friend of mine was like, I'm going to Fiddles. I was like, I guess it's happening there. But this also speaks to, and to the listeners at home, where we don't just air in New York. Fiddlesticks is like kind of like that post college bar that everyone kind of like would go to, and it's in a great area, and it's a place where you might make out, like at a bar.
And that's what I did. So did you make out with someone? That's go to Fiddlesticks.
But it's interesting that, like, in this era of, like, let's speak, like, this dating era where it's like we did the apps, and then everyone goes through the pandemic at the same exact time. Your experience is different than my experience, is different than people that had it way worse, way better. We don't know. But everyone had it at the same time. So then there's this, like, thought of, like, I want to get out of the house. I want to get off of this screen that I've been staring at for a year. It is interesting to me, you, Serena Kerrigan, Serena fucking Kerrigan, I apologize.
You don't fuck that up again.
A New York City person. This bar is one that you, hypothetically, in the archetype of you, Upper West Side woman, grew up in the city, Zay Bars.
Bad bitch.
The idea that you would go to Fiddlesticks to me is hilarious, but it speaks to what's going on. I think we're all like, that's a fun bar. I want to be fun with fun people.
I also think that whole idea of, like, I mean, maybe, like, it's just me, but, like, I'm not someone who follows, like, trendy spots that, like, have to be, like, of a certain, like, caliber and, like, and rating and price point. Like, I'm literally looking to get fucking blackout and have the summer of my life, because I'm 27 years old, and I was sitting in an apartment for a year. So, like, absolutely, I just want to have fun. And if Fiddlesticks is a spot, wow, we are giving them so much business right now. Let's fucking go. But, like, I just want to, like, they're fun people at Fiddlesticks. There's fun people.
That is the thing, because there are bars people eat. There are jokes people can easily get involved with. I always reference CrossFit. The internet agreed. CrossFit's for losers. CrossFit's for idiots. And now we're just allowed to make fun of those people. No one gives a shit. And you could say meaner things about CrossFit than you could say about Peloton right now, because Peloton is liked and beloved, and it's very inspirational.
Right.
Whatever. But this is what happens. So a place like Fiddlesticks, and Fiddlesticks exists in every state in this country.
100%.
It is that bar that people go to after college, and they go, everyone just gets drunk there, not really talking, not really.
But then you're like, go there?
But now it's like we're coming back, and it's like you talk about trends. Like, the trend is, oh, I'm 22, I'm going to Fiddlesticks. Now the trend is, hey, fun people go there, I'm going back there. Let's go back in the shark infested waters. Let's have some fun. Let's get some stories out of this, because a year of our lives were kind of stripped from us in the way we wanted to
100%.
live.
I also think that, you know, something, especially when it comes to dating and feeling nervous or feeling like, I get a lot of questions too about how to make friends in the city and, you know, all over. I'm sure everyone experiences that. I really think that the best thing the pandemic gave us was this: all of a sudden everyone has something in common.
Absolutely.
Every single person just went through the same experience. That's never happened in the history of, like, since the last pandemic. So I think that that is such a great way to be like, what did you do during quarantine? Who are you fucking?
Totally.
Like, it's such an easy, like, conversation starter. I mean, you should use
great advice. It's a great point because it is the, you know, it is kind of, I was making fun of it a little bit of like, everyone's kind of acting like it's syllabus week. How is your summer?
When you go back to college. It's orientation week.
It's orientation week.
But it's all summer.
And it's all summer long. So it's like, you're coming back to school.
To the city from Boca.
I'm coming back Thursday. I got to come back. We're going to Fiddlesticks. That's it. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Serena Kerrigan. Let's do some emails. You guys send them in. Go follow Serena at Serena Kerrigan. Let's fucking date. That's the card game. Big announcement coming Wednesday. Make sure you're in there. This email title is right up your alley, I would assume. We just met, but I don't want to, you know, I don't mean to insult, but this is the oeuvre that you have built, the brand you have built. SOS, need my clit licked. Okay. So here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
So my boyfriend and I have been dating almost 2 years. One of the only issues I've had is that he doesn't like doing oral. I love giving oral and making him feel good, but he says he's not really into receiving it either. Is he only saying that so he's not obligated to give it back? I've brought it up that I want him to eat me out more often, and he blames not wanting to due to a poor past experience. Then one time he said he doesn't like the taste, which is a little more general and makes me concerned about myself, although I have never had any complaints before. What the heck am I supposed to do with that? How do I get him to want to eat me out without feeling like I'm forcing him? I literally masturbate about the idea of him eating me out. So evidently this is important to me. Sincerely, a girl that wants him to dine in.
Love.
I love that.
First of all, my immediate thing is dump him because he's not going to change his mind. You're not going to change him. And what you're asking for is so fucking normal, but there are some guys that are just not down and you're always going to feel like you're forcing him. He blatantly told you he doesn't want to do it. Also, since when do we not do things because we've had a bad experience in the past? Like, for example, like, you know, we've had a breakup, so you're never going to be in a relationship again. Like, that's such bullshit. I'm telling you, it's a cop out. He's not going to change his ways. I would say next.
Poor past experiences, like these ghosts are haunting me. Like because no one can really speak to that. It's like, you know, we're in this world.
What would have been the poor past experience?
Yeah,
like, your face. Like, that's epic.
Yeah, exactly. That's fun. It's a little hot. It's a little weird. Yeah, yeah.
I
that would be my first question. We have to take into account, and I agree with you. Like, I would think month one, I don't want to go down on you. I would be like, okay. Pleasure to meet you. Got to go. But
that's 100%. That should have been a deal breaker from the get-go, right?
But we can't go back. It's 2 years in. This is a 2-year relationship. And she is attracted to him. The idea of her saying, I literally masturbate about the idea of him eating me out. So evidently this is important to me. But also evidently you're attracted to him. Evidently you do enjoy him. Like a little bit of the cat and mouse of it is a little bit, but like, I would say the first question has to be, I need you to explain the poor past experience. And again, this email is living in the sex, fun, hilarious zone of he won't go down on me. But then it's like, if he won't explain that story, then you guys aren't really in a relationship.
100%. 100%. He should be able to talk about it with you so you can move forward. To me, men don't change. No one changes unless they want to. So I think she either needs to accept the fact that he's not going to or move on.
Yeah, I do think people change, but I think it's like a cruise ship and not a
speedboat.
But they
have to want to. He's going to have to want to deal with his past vagina experience.
Totally. Like, again, what you said is like, did someone fart in your face? Like, I need to know the story.
Like, what could it have been?
Did your mom die while you were going down on a woman? Like, then we go, okay.
Valid.
Exactly. Now we're talking. Okay, we have a death.
That's the only suitable reason.
My mom died in a pussy eating accident. Like, there's got to be something.
Fair.
And if he won't discuss this story, so let's get, then we have to talk about, we're not communicating enough in our relationship. If you won't share things with me, then we might not be the right match. And again, because I agree with you. A month in, you're not going down to me. We are not sexually a match. But 2 years in, what aren't we talking about?
Yeah. Here? What is this past experience? Like, you should know. Yeah.
And the other thing, is it because it's taking a long time. And then he can go, okay, I need more communication from you. Because it can come back to her where it's like, I don't know when you get off. I feel like I'm a loser every time. Every time I try to go down on you, you don't make noise.
You're this so much better at this than I am. I was really like, dump him next. Bye.
I agree with dump, no, but like, right. The male side, I know that you can feel like a total fucking loser when if you're going down on someone, you're like, I can't turn the light on. What the fuck is wrong with me? So maybe this reminds, and listen, this conversation, we've had versions of this on podcasts before where someone's like, fuck you for even not getting a woman off. It's like, okay, listen, you guys got to communicate. What is she like? What do you like? That type of thing.
Yeah.
The J Train is brought to you by Native Deodorant, featuring their new face and body sunscreen. Sometimes life stinks. The good news, you don't have to, because Native Deodorant has your back. I love Native Deodorant. What I love about Native Deodorant is you know what you're putting on your body. That's number one. But number two, they have a line of products that is awesome. And you don't have to be the same person every day. When I used to have my regular deodorant stick, it was the same thing. Same smell, same person, same me. Now with Native Deodorant, they have like, they have different scents, but I'm like, what flavor am I today? Right now I have I have the coconut and vanilla. Like, what a cool thing to be. Today's a coconut and vanilla day. And then there's another day where I change it to the lavender and rose. That's kind of fun. Then they do seasonal flavors. I call them flavors because, I don't know, they smell so good and they work. That's another thing with, you know, a lot of people are worried when they get a natural deodorant. Oh, is it work? That's kind of the joke. It works. I use it. I love it. Native cares about what you put on your body. That's the most important thing. And they're about stopping the stink the right way. That's the Native difference. You've heard us talk about Native's legendary aluminum-free deodorant, but have you tried their body wash, toothpaste, or their brand new mineral-based sunscreen? That's right. Native now has a broad-spectrum SPF 30 sunscreen for your face and body. It's lightweight, absorbs quickly, and you can choose between unscented or coconut and pineapple. See, that's fun. One day you're unscented, the next day you're coconut and pineapple. I have the body wash. The body wash is great, smells good, real sudsy, get the whole body going. It's great. Native's on a mission to overhaul your entire hygiene routine. Put the care in self-care. Native's products work against odor with simple ingredients that smell great. You can get their deodorant and body wash in the amazing scents. So I have the body wash in the citrus and herbal musk. That's what I have, and it's great. But they have lavender and rose, and then coconut and vanilla. You can even build your own personalized product bundles. This is where I think you guys should get in. Product bundles. Mix and match three of your favorite scents. Keep them on rotation so you have something for every occasion. That I love. That's the move. Okay, so stay fresh, stay clean with Native by going to nativedeo.com/JTrain. Let me say that again. nativedeo.com/JTrain, or use promo code JTrain at checkout and get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/JTrain, or use promo code JTrain at checkout for 20% off your first order. The J Train is brought to you by Upstart. Do you dread looking at your credit card statement every month? I don't blame you. Upstart can lift that weight off your shoulders so that you can finally feel the relief of being free of credit card debt. Listen, people, this is an opportunity. I don't know if it's going to help all of you, but if you're sitting there with credit card debt, it's time to just take a look at Upstart, because if you can lower your rate, wouldn't you want to do that? That's found money. That's finding a 20 in your jacket pocket. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate up front for loans from $1,000 to $50,000. You can get approved the same day and can receive funds as fast as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/JTrain. That's upstart.com/JTrain. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know I sent you. Here's the fine print. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/JTrain. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Ooh, I like this one. Wedding DM slide. Serena Kerrigan, @SerenaKerrigan. Let's fucking date. That's the card game. Wedding DM slide. You ready? I was a bridesmaid in a wedding this past weekend. The weddings are coming back. IRL summer is here.
I'm so excited. Let's fucking go.
This is it. This is, I can feel it. And look at bridesmaid in a wedding this past weekend. The bride and the rest of the bridesmaids were very adamant about setting me up with one of the groomsmen. And I was totally for it. But I think the other groomsmen were kind of being pushy about it with him too. This happens all the time. If you've ever been the one single guy, one single woman at a wedding, they go, well, the two single people, you two, and everyone pushes. And sometimes it's too hard. Sometimes it's like, you gotta go for, and you go, I don't even know. Then it makes it weird to even approach the person because you're like, hey, everyone says
that it's so weird. It's
my
so
penis should be in your vagina. Like, yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And it's like, you don't even have a chance to even like, I don't even like, it kind of feels like you're like forcing yourself on them too.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think the other groomsmen were kind of being kind of pushy about it with him too. Since the drinks were flowing, we danced together a couple of times and talked for a bit, but that was really it. He was pretty quiet and shy in general per his friends. So I couldn't really gauge if he was into me or not, if he was feeling the pressure of everybody trying to set us up. That could happen. We didn't exchange numbers, but we follow each other on Instagram. I definitely like to grab drinks with him, but what's the move here? Should I slide in the DMs, say something about the wedding, help me out, Papa? What do you think, Serena Kerrigan?
I think absolutely not. I think like if he wanted to, he would. He had the opportunity. He follows you. He could DM you. He had the opportunity to get your number at the wedding. He's not interested. Move on. It sucks.
Yeah.
If you are so feeling like you must say something, even though I don't think you should, because I think ultimately men are hunters and they want a chase. And like, you're just being like, here I am. Like, do you want to get a drink? Like, no, they don't want that girl. They want the girl that they can't get.
Maybe
like send him a meme that like, if you had an inside joke or like there was something funny or like you could respond to his story, but like saying, hey, want to get a drink? I wouldn't do it. If you wanted to, you would.
It's interesting. Everything you're saying, I agree with. And I think the one thing I agree with is the men are hunters thing. But I think when people do the men are hunters thing, they go, you can chase separate things. You can chase the person on the date, but you can create chase-worthy moments, in my opinion. So, like, okay. The idea of, like, you can chase, hey, great meeting you, down for drinks sometimes. Okay. Only here,
If I DM'd you that after this podcast, not me or someone,
sure,
you'd be like, oh, for sure. Like, I feel like it's a little like presumptuous.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it's presumptuous. You have to be a good listener as well as a good talker and to this person. So if you say you should do drinks, not you, I'm saying the royal you has to be a good listener as well as a good talker. So the good talk is we should do drinks sometime. Fine. You put it out there. You let him know what you want. The listen comes him going, yeah, we should is not the goodbye. That's the done. It's, you know, Tuesday, 8 o'clock, this bar. Now he has chased down your we should do drinks. That's the only response that counts. Like
agreed. If it's
that
the plan. If he doesn't
it's
make the
plan.
Plan.
If he has one shot at this plan. I do agree with you though. He had the wedding, he had his shot. Now he's just sitting there what? Masturbating to you all day? Like what's going on? Why is he following you? What does he need to know about your life? What is going on here? So I think what happens at a wedding when two people are pushed together, it's like we either have this fun wedding night or we don't. And now I have to reassess, do I want to actually date you? And he has reassessed it and he has pretty much said no at this point.
100%. I also feel like weddings are this exactly. They're like they live in their own world. Like I've hooked up with guys at weddings and I'm like, I'm never going to like this isn't going anywhere. It's just like
totally.
It's a fucking wedding. Love is in the air. Like we're getting drunk. We look beautiful. Like what's there to lose?
And that excuse is built in. So now like the fun excuse of we had that one wedding night is gone. Now it is in serious date one, date two, date three mode. And now if he hasn't made that plan, it's hard to get him into that plan. I don't think there's that's why I think, definitely agree. Move on. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Serena Kerrigan, Siesta Key this Wednesday. Go watch. Big announcement on her Instagram at Serena Kerrigan. Go follow, go follow, go follow. In love, but it's over. Oh, this is way too long. There's no. okay. I like this one. I like this one for you.
Okay.
Because I think this, you're going to have a great thought on this. Girl best friend is one of the boys. Okay. Absolutely love your podcast. I sent this, but thought you might have good personal advice on this as a guy. Okay. So they sent this to you up, like the other podcast, but we're going to do it here. A little backstory. My boyfriend is 28. I'm 25. We've been together for 4 months and things are mostly great. He's a very social person, has several different groups of friends. My concern is with his old friends from his college, quote unquote, bro days going back almost 8 years. Although some are married with kids, a few of out of the five haven't really grown up. And it seems their only thing to talk about to my boyfriend is about their attraction to women. My boyfriend usually is very respectful and short when the conversation turns to this. They have also been friends with a girl who considers herself, quote unquote, one of the boys. She's, quote unquote, thick, has the physical features men typically like. I love that she's like describing this.
She has great
physical features men typically like, and they will sometimes make inappropriate jokes about her quote unquote features. And I believe she loves the attention.
Yeah. This
is an interesting thing about male female relationships where it's like these guys are being awful and she's like, she likes it. Like she's getting blamed. Like, I don't know. It's a little unfair. Okay. About a month into our relationship, when I had asked how he was feeling about us and if there was anything he wanted to get off his chest, he told me his friends had sent him a post-workout Snapchat of her in the mirror in booty shorts with some lame comment about her squatting paying off. Turned out my boyfriend thought it would be okay to screenshot this photo. His reasoning was he thought it would be funny to send to the boys for the running joke, we're all just friends here, when she feels the need to show off. He realized it was inappropriate and deleted it right after taking the photo. My thought is that maybe this isn't entirely true and it was more his attraction to the photo. He apologized profusely and offered to delete his Snapchat or her if I felt this was a big enough violation to end the relationship. I took it upon myself to befriend this girl and ask what the fuck is up. She told me, I love that. My first 100%. Piece of advice. You got to be her right-hand woman. I think that's a good move. She told me that they have always been friends. He's a great guy. Nothing has ever happened. And I really need to chill out when it comes to her friendship.
Okay.
That's a little, she put that in quotes, chill out when it comes to their friendship. And trust him. She then texted him apologizing for sending it and made a comment about it, how I blew this out of proportion. She puts in parentheses, rude. I agree. Since this issue, he's really distanced himself from this girl. There's been no issue since, but I wanted your take on the situation. Did I take this as a red flag when really this should have been a deal breaker? Thanks for any help. Serena Kerrigan, what do you think? This is an interesting thing. She did do the right thing. We both do agree, like going to the friend and being like, let's be girls. That's kind of cool.
That was great. I think ultimately what I have this like weird, I have a lot of male friends that I love, straight male friends that I don't want to fuck. And I think it's always confusing, right? Like you have to not want to fuck each other, I think, to be really good friends. Personally,
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you. I think it has to suss itself out. Like right. I always kind of say like, how did the friendship start? Like, how did we get here? Like, is it from like a chance meeting? Like, right. Or is it like, oh, I knew her boyfriend and then she became part of the group and like just always been like a sister friend. You know, I don't know. It just has to be explained.
I just, the whole concept of like you being one of the guys, but then you sending provocative selfies of yourself to them is problematic to me because like it just doesn't feel like you're, that's just weird. Like it goes against
the whole definition of one of the guys. Yeah. I've never had one of the guys.
Are you sending pictures of your dick to your guy friends, being like, "Look at my dick," right? Like,
or look at my ass. My squats are paying off. Yeah. Like even that.
And I think that, to be fair, I think that women do that with one another. I think that it's very common for a woman to be like, "Look, I've been working out. Like, are you proud? Whatever." But I think that if you want to be one of the guys and you're the only female, I don't know. I find it like she's actually, she wants the validation from them. It's less of like, I think she wants to turn them on.
You think you, well, this is kind of where she goes to like pump her tires a little bit, which listen, that's true of a lot of people. We have a lot of, there's a lot of people with relationships out there that are purely tire pumpers. Like that is like, and everyone has some guilt in this. But I think the harder part for me to like really understand is her going to him. Like she goes to your boyfriend to say that you blew it out of proportion. Like
I would kill her. Yes, right? Exactly. Because that to me is disrespecting. Like ultimately, like if the boyfriend's always going to pick his girlfriend over her, and it feels like she was kind of making him choose her over the girlfriend. I didn't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, because you did make an attempt. She told me they have always been friends. He's a great guy. Nothing ever. So she then texted him apologizing for sending it and made a comment about how I blew this out of proportion. Like for her to not have any empathy for your side of this, like, hey, beautiful woman in the friend group sending butt pictures. It's a big joke with all the guys. She can't understand why a girlfriend would feel a little uncomfortable. Like there's no understanding. And it's like,
also in the long run, like I would be like, I'm so sorry. Won't do that again. But right now she's created a conflict where like, he's going to have to ultimately choose her or the girlfriend. And he's going to choose the girlfriend, I think.
If
so
they
why would
work
she do
out
to herself? She shot herself in the foot.
So but that's the thing with the friend. I would go, do you not see me as a long-term option for your friend? If you're friends, why would you not want to make this an easy relationship? And I would say that to the boyfriend. I don't know if it's a deal breaker with your boyfriend, but I do think like you can't go, if I'm this person, I'm on the side of like, don't you think it's a little weird? Like I'm not in like, fuck that bitch. Like you have to like kind of slow play this a little bit.
No, it's 100%. Like I think it's just weird. And
if
I think
he
like
can't agree that it's weird, then you have a problem, I think.
Correct. And I think like what is the end game here? Is the end game to be friends with the bros? If your end game is friends with the bros, you have to be friends with the girlfriends too.
Absolutely. So what's going on here? And I think you have to like pose that to your boyfriend. Like you have to make sure that like he knows if he doesn't admit to the line which she quoted. I blew this out of proportion. If he doesn't agree that that is a wild thing for this friend to do, then you have a problem with the boyfriend. But if he can, he just needs to join you on this level of like, yeah, I got to get away from her. It feels like a toxic thing at that point.
Period.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Serena Kerrigan. Serena fucking Kerrigan. So let's do the, I sent you some screenshots. We got a few of these. Let's go
really
to the last.
I appreciate the way that you kind of pull apart. Cause I think that I'm very like, maybe it's my Aries energy, but I'm very impulsive. Like I'm very like decision done, dump him over. Like, and I really like how you kind of peel back the layers. It's very fascinating. And
I appreciate it. It's more to like, you know, as far as the show's concerned, like someone else is in a similar situation to this person. So it's like, you know, and also like, I get it. Like, listen, she's got a boyfriend. She's probably so pumped. I got a great guy. I got this one fucking thorn in my side. And I think a lot of times, like you probably, when you fly and you see someone on the airplane do something like annoying, the only thing you want is to turn to someone else and go, right? And for someone else to go, yeah, that was fucking, to give you the I agree, that's fucking annoying look. Like,
so true. Oh my God. That's all you can do, really.
It's all you can do. So, like, this podcast a lot of times is like a commiseration of, like, yeah, that's fucking weird that girl wrote something crazy like that. And it's like, I think, like, you know, I don't have the answers. I have some ideas on some answers that I would give, but, you know, I think more commiseration is like a bigger thing. Like,
totally.
Okay.
I just think that I'm like, and I want people to listen to this, like you deserve 110% commitment and happiness and just don't fucking, I just see so many women that come to me, like they're settling. They're like treated like shit. They're like, but I have a boyfriend. Like, no, like you will get 110% if that's what, you know, you think you deserve. So that's really why I'm super strong.
Listen, and I think a lot of times, like, you know, when you're in a relationship, it is comfortable. You know, like, you know, you do have comfort levels and then you go and you don't know what, you know, like you're kind of in tunnel you know, tunnel land because you want to tell your friends, yeah, we're going out for dinner tonight. And you don't go, but he never texts me back like six times. And it's like, you've been with a guy 2 years. It's almost embarrassing, you know, like, so I think like, I agree with you. Like, there's a lot of times where you go, a lot of times this podcast works as a perspective shift. It's like, totally. Do you want to date the guy who won't look at you and go, yeah, that is fucking weird. You know, like, instead of, is this weird?
Yeah,
like, do you want to date the person that won't even agree with you on that?
No, yes, agreed. We're aligned.
I sent you this one screenshot. Yeah. How mean can I be when calling out a ghoster? Do you have that in front of you?
I read it. Yeah.
I'm going to start reading the email. My question is, how big of an asshole can I be to a guy who ghosted when I ultimately send the what the fuck text? Some backstory. I met this guy on Hinge. He's 30. I'm 26. He asked me on a date after about a week of talking. This all sounds normal to me so far. The date went well. We set up another time to hang out. I saw him again two more times that week. He then had to go out of town for about a week and a half. During that time, he consistently initiated text conversations every day and mentioned being excited to see me when he got back. When he got back, he set up another date. And on this date, there was a sleepover. Then the next day, I texted something ordinary to say, which was right in the realm of normal for typical text. See attached screenshot. Okay. So you be her, I'll be him.
Okay, hold on. Let me pull it up. Is it, you sent me? Okay, yeah, got it. Let's do it. Hi, hello?
Yep.
Hi, hello, smiley face. How's your Sunday?
And then an hour later, hello, nothing much. I have been just catching up with errands and then meal prep. Nothing too crazy.
Exclamation point.
Yeah, exclamation point.
She immediately responds back. Sounds like a good old Sunday. What do you make for the week? ? He doesn't respond.
Uh-huh.
And then how many days later do we know?
We don't know.
Okay, well, then sometime later at 7:10, she goes, hi, period. Haven't heard from you in a while, period. Just wanted to make sure everything is okay, ?
She did say the next day I texted something ordinary to say, hey, which was right in the realm of normal for typical text. So that came a day later.
That this is normal, saying, hey, is everything okay?
No, she's saying it like the,
I mean,
something. So she writes,
if you have to send that text, like, it's not, like, don't send that text.
Well, she writes, so I haven't heard back. It's loud and clear that he's done with this and that's fine. But it feels so fucked up to sleep with someone, then have them ghost completely without any warning signs the next day. So my question is, how big of an asshole can I be to call him out? What I want to say is, grow up, ghost boy, okay? or learn how to break things off with a little more dignity, especially when it's immediately after sleeping with someone. Or is it even worth calling out? Am I overreacting to how degrading it feels to get completely silenced after a hookup? What can I say to communicate how shitty a thing this is to do while also maintaining my dignity as a self-respecting person? Thanks for everything you do. Always sharing and telling the mamas and papas, asshole energy party of two. So what do you...
Okay, so, I've been in this situation so many times and it feels like fucking shit.
Sure.
Ultimately, I don't think you should send a text. I just think like you move on. That's the best revenge, is moving on. He's a prick. If you, like, when I saw this text, I was like, I just wouldn't reach out. Like, I think the ball's in their court. And if you feel degraded, then you should not have sex with someone until they're giving you commitment, because
This is how everyone.
That's the only
deserves.
Way you can control the situation.
And also, everyone has their own relationship with sex. This type of sex is not for you. But I would look back at her email and I would say to her, she has a right to feel the way she feels.
100%.
Everyone has a right to feel however.
Oh my god! It feels like a slap in the face, and it feels so degrading and so fucked up and so disrespectful. He's a piece of shit. But I honestly like don't even want to like give him the status. Like, I think the way to win here is silence and not caring, not in quote, not caring, but like, because obviously you're allowed to care and you should care, but more like showing him that like you're busy, you're dating other guys, and like, you don't even have time to give him a fuck you. You don't even have time.
I'm with you as far as like, you gotta get him, he can't take up space in your brain anymore. And that is easy for us to tell, harder to do. I would say to her, the problem with this is the way it happened. And the problem with like the word ghosting is that it's gotten kind of taken over by these people who just didn't really get ghosted. Like, if she had been like, we went on one date, and then I never heard from him again, different story. If she had said, we got drinks, ended up going back together, having sex, I texted him, he texted back, never heard from him again, I would go, okay, these are kind of the murky waters you sleep in, or that you swim in. Not to say that that's right, I'm just saying, when you do, you know, drinks and we fuck, this is kind of what can happen in that.
100%.
In this scenario, so like, this is why this podcast is important, where it's like, we read the whole scenario. They go, he go on a date, then the date went well, set up another time to hang out. I saw him two more times that week.
That's
then
a lot
go
of
out
times.
Of town. So now you're on three dates. Now it's during this vacation for a week, he's texting all the time saying
weird.
What's up,
maybe,
letting her know. And then he gets back. So he has the sex, and now she's going, now you're gone? Like, there were so many chances to let me know that you were just in this for sex, and which is okay too. And that's the hard part, because listen, many men have made this mistake and have been this asshole. So I'm not saying he's like this is a bizarre sighting. This is actually almost like,
to like be 100% clear. Date, talking, and then they had sex one time and then he ghosted.
It's a shitty move.
It's just abundantly clear that he was in it to have sex.
Or listen, I can understand the idea of like, you have sex, you go, oh my God, I feel like I'm like so far down the river without a paddle. Now she's expecting this. That's an ego thing. That's an ego monster that a lot of men have within them. That's the reason I would say to her, when she says, learn how to break things, like when she says, grow up ghost boy, I laughed at that initially, because he's not going to learn anything from that. That's not going to win you anything. That gets him off the hook. When she writes, learn how to break things off with a little more dignity, especially when it's immediately after sleeping with someone.
That's not bad.
That's not bad, because now that is a breakup.
But
that,
is it your responsibility? Like,
this is kind of the perspective shift that I'm talking about. She has to let him know, and this is what happens a lot. This guy, right now, they're in the land of, hi, haven't heard from you in a while, just want to know if everything's okay. Let's say a week goes by. He messages, hey, things have been so busy. Everyone's gotten that message before, but you didn't put up the barbed wire fence that lets him know, go fuck yourself, you're not welcome in this territory. So I do believe in this instance, a breakup actually helps you to get him out of your mind, because now there's no chance of, because the problem with texting and social media, some people can just pop up and you're like, how did this person pop up?
Yeah. Like, boundary set. I agree.
And now you have to redo the whole thing that you just got over. Like, let's say a month from now, she's over it. She's like, that fucked up. Now I'm dating a different way. And he's like, hey, things were busy at work. It's like,
good advice.
Now I have to redo it. So I think a breakup is necessary here. Even more so than the one she wrote. I would even write, hey, we're done now. This made me feel like shit. We were totally texting back and forth one way. Then we had sex. Now we're texting back and forth a whole different way. I'm letting you know it's over for me. And please, you should try and figure yourself out, because what you did was actually wrong. That now, I don't know if you teach him anything.
Honey.
Listen,
remember when
Serena
I called myself a dating expert at the beginning of this?
Well, no, I agree with what you're saying.
This girl that's been on a lot of dates.
Well, we need to get him out of her head. I agree with you, where it's like, get rid of this dude. It's over. Yeah. But how do we get there? How do we get to, she says, I want to feel some, and it sucks. I'm sorry this happened. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com.
Another great guy's around the corner, so you're good.
It'll happen. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Best Fiends. Life is full of big mysteries that if you think about them for too long, your brain's going to hurt. Oh, there's mysteries everywhere. What will today bring? You don't even know. Why do I get hungry at 11 o'clock at night, even though I ate at 8 o'clock, and I don't get hungry at 9 a.m. even though I didn't eat the whole night? Isn't that a weird thing? That's what I'm dealing with today. When you need a break from contemplating the big questions, it's time to take on a puzzle that's meant to be solved. Like the literally thousands of puzzle solving levels on Best Fiends. And unlike mulling over the mysteries of the universe, Best Fiends leaves your brain feeling refreshed and challenged. If you want to play a game that engages your brain and takes place in a beautiful fantasy world, your answer is Best Fiends. I gotta tell you, I love Best Fiends. It is a fun game. It's playable. Some of these games are so incredibly hard that you get to one level and it's over for you. This is a fun satisfying. You know, those videos, you know, there's a beginning, middle, and end, and sometimes that's all we need to get away from the stresses in our life. I think it's the perfect game to put your brain on the shelf. It's a great thing to have on your phone waiting for you when you just need 10 minutes away from all the things you're, you know, going through or working on. Best Fiends has tons of fun puzzles to solve, and unlike other matching puzzle games, something smashing sweets, you know, Best Fiends has variety and strategy. The only downside, I can't stop playing. Again, you're going to play it in between everything you do. I'm already on level 80. Like, it's crazy. And there are thousands of levels waiting for me. With Best Fiends, there's something new to play every day. It's endless fun, and you get these cute, collectible characters. Seriously, what's not to love? The coolest part is you get to watch these characters grow up. Best Fiends has new updates and additions all the time, so it never feels stale. You're always getting something new. If you're hungry for a near endless supply of fun puzzles, the kind you can actually enjoy solving, try out Best Fiends. Just don't blame me if you can't turn it off. Download the 5-star rated puzzle game Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by FabFitFun. Oh, summer's coming. I'm looking forward to it. I love the beach. I love the sun. I like a walk. We just went through an incredible year, an incredibly tough year. It's time to be good to yourself, and I think FabFitFun's the way to do that. And these boxes are a great way to treat yourself because you're going to find something that will be a part of your routine for a long time. Not all of it, but some of it, and it's all great. FabFitFun has sponsored me for a while now, but this season's different. Now they are the only subscription box that is completely customizable. So you're going to get to take a waltz around the store, so to speak, and pick out a bunch of stuff. And it's going to be great, and it's going to be something you never would have gotten for yourself before because we're hard on ourselves. You walk through the drugstore, you walk through Walmart, you walk through Target, and you go, oh, I don't need it, it's not my birthday. Well, let's make every day your birthday. Let's give ourselves a summer birthday if you don't have one, and if you do, let's do it twice. So now, the fact that it's completely customizable is great. You can now pick 100% of the items. No one else does this. This new perk is only available to annual members. That's one more reason to get the yearly subscription. With FabFitFun, you'll always find great deals on top brands up to 70% off. Summer is here. It's time to get your summer box today. I mean, I'm looking at the list of items right now, okay? And again, FabFitFun is about treating yourself or someone you love with the things you might not have done before. I mean, like, I'm looking at this list. They got Somersault Neoprene Beach Tote, Virginia Wolf multi-wear wrap, outdoor blanket, wine chiller, tie-dye towel, scalp massager, jewelry case, Bluetooth speakers, moisturizers, wine tumblers, sunscreen, it's coil curl activators. Some of this stuff is like stuff, African Botanics gold shimmer oil. I mean, it's just... I'm always in awe of what FabFitFun does because it gives you the chance to be a little bit good to yourself. So order your summer box today. Sign up now so you can snag amazing products like the Summer Friday CC Me Serum or the Business and Pleasure Cooler when you customize. Use code JTRAIN21. Let me say that again. Code JTRAIN21 for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. Plus, for a limited time only, annual members will receive an extra gift valued at $125 with their purchase while supplies last. Once again, that's code JTRAIN21 for your first box at www.fabfitfun.com for $10 off your first box.
JTRAINPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Serena Kerrigan at Serena Kerrigan. Big announcement. That's right. Big announcement coming.
Something's coming.
It's coming. So you got to follow her. The only way to find out is to go follow her on Instagram at Serena Kerrigan. Go, go, go. Let's do another one. I sent you another.
Great.
Let me just. I get in this. We're going to do a couple screenshots because I knew you'd be great at these.
Great. Love.
So let's go to this one.
Sorry, I gotta bring it up. Let's do nursing student doesn't diagnose narcissist.
Oh.
Let's do that one.
Okay.
Okay. This will be our last one. Is that cool?
Yeah.
But everyone go follow Serena at Serena Kerrigan right now. Let's fucking date. That's the card game. Okay. Nursing student doesn't diagnose narcissist. Feather, tell Shelbs he's hot. Okay. That's our producer. He's not here today, but I will let him know. I think I'm dating a narcissist. Well, I thought we broke up until the text exchange that happened, attached. So a little background. I'm a nursing student and school sucks right now in the state of the world, as you can imagine, yada, yada. I've been dating this guy for 6 months and things were perfect at the beginning. Little by little, he started to show his true colors, egging on my best friend's sober boyfriend to drink. Oh, my God, that's horrible. Telling me that flowers don't make people feel better. Oh, my God. Him never making a move on me, but instead putting my hand on his dick like you know what to do. Ay. Okay, I mean, we don't need the screenshots. Anyways, fast forward to current day. Like I mentioned, nursing student. I had an awful clinical day where the AC in the hospital broke and I was cleaning shit all day in 80 degrees when my quote-unquote boyfriend reached out and asked me about my day. This happened. Screenshots. Screenshots are better than my story. Okay, so let's read the screenshots. There's three of them. I'll be him, you be her.
Okay.
How's your day?
It's been rough as hell. How's yours?
Why rough? Mine's been hectic too. Just trying to get a bunch of shit done before my trip.
Oh my God. I hate him. Are you kidding? Okay. In the same text bubble. Like he had to talk about himself. Okay.
Yeah. rough as hell. Oh, I know. Yeah.
And then like, look what she says. She says, got placed in the ICU today and those patients require a lot of attention. And the AC was broken. So it was 80 degrees in the hospital. Also, my patient was deaf and mute. So it was hard to communicate. Are you getting everything squared away? I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, it's a lot. At that point, a lot's going on.
No, but then his response is iconic.
His response.
Iconic.
Damn, that sucks. through you, spelled through wrong. Damn, that sucks. And damn, that sucks. Threw you right into the wolf's den. Builds character, though. Yeah, I'll have everything done before Wednesday. Just got done gym and tanning. This guy's at the gym and tanning. Yeah, things are hectic for me too. She's running around with shit in her hands in 80 degree weathers, not communicating with people because they can't hear or see them. Like, oh my God.
People are dying. And he's
dying.
And he's gym tanning laundry. I can't. Yeah. I actually can't. Okay. But also, why respond? Whatever. Okay. I think I have enough character, LOL. Okay, we love that.
Yeah.
He goes, and that's nice. How was it? And then immediately after, I need to talk to you about something, .. I'm not trying to be dramatic, overly sensitive, but I have to say something because I can't just sit back like it doesn't bother me. When I try and tell you about something shitty that happened with my day, when I work really hard on a daily basis and you say things like it builds character, it really bothers me. Some recognition like, sorry, you had a rough day or anything along the lines of would just be nice. The other stuff just hurts my feelings.
Well, sorry. Well, this guy is not going to be a therapist anytime soon. Well, sorry you feel that way, but I am who I am. I will try to be better. Oh, my God.
Who says that ever?
Well, you can't say I'll try to be better right after
you say I am who I am.
Yeah. You just didn't try to be better. Yeah.
Well, then maybe there's a disconnect between and what we both need from someone in a relationship. Yes, there is.
Sounds like theirs. We just seem to be in different worlds.
Okay, get someone who can spell, please.
I mean, different worlds. She's on Earth and he's on, you know, planet asshole.
Oh, and she just goes, okay. Yeah.
And then he ends up writing her, hey, I've been jam-packed with shit the last
more
2 days
tanning
before I go on leave. Yeah. I've been so busy at the tanning booth, I couldn't get through to you. I've been MIA because I wanted to stay focused and good spirits before my trip. Like, dude, you're MIA before you go on a trip? Like, this is crazy. Things seemed to turn south the other day, and I honestly didn't feel like dealing with them. I know things haven't been the same the last couple of weeks. We both had our plates full with other things. Well, yours were full with, like, getting ready for your beach vacation, and hers were full of actual human poop. Like, also getting selected up north didn't help. Don't let this distract you from school. Keep your eye on the prize. I don't know what the future holds. I'm sure some R&R will do more good.
Do me good.
Oh, he said, do me good.
Like,
oh, I thought he was like ending with some class. No, I'm sorry. Why would I even think that? Do me good.
She broke up with him, right?
She writes it. Yeah, we'll go back to the email. So my question is, were my responses okay? Trying to my point across, I don't want to be with him. Imagine cleaning shit and your sweat is dripping into the bedpan. And your boyfriend tells you to build it, builds character. I need some advice as what to do.
To be honest with you, like I wouldn't like. It's a no. This is a breakup. This is broken. This is not your guy.
It is
a narcissist.
It's a narcissist. It's also like, it's interesting. Like, it's interesting that like, I always see those like tweets that are like, you know, that I kind of roll my eyes at. They're like, you know, what do men need? Like the men need therapy. That's why they should date or before they date. I'm looking for a man who's gone to therapy. Like, this is the guy that they're kind of talking about. Like, this isn't, I don't know if he needs therapy or just needs to mature or needs to like start talking to people.
This is a narcissist.
This is wild. And I'm not taking the side, but I always have to like try to explain the unexplainable a lot of times on this podcast. And there is an element of like, men are fixers. They just want like, and he's doing like, men are like the type to like, okay, I need a bow on every single emotional thing. And
that's okay. He's not providing a solution.
He's not. You're right.
Like, that's like, he's talking, he brings it back to himself. Like providing a solution and I agree with you, would have been like, what can I do for you? Can I make things better? Or like, or like, how can like, saying it builds character and then talking about your tanning and how shitty that is for you, that's not fixing anything.
Yeah, and he uses like a lot of like cliche eye on the prize. He sounds I mean, he sounds like he went to like a Gary V boot camp for like, you know, like being an asshole to your problems. It's like you can't just yell someone into like feeling better about the shitty day they're having. It's like at a certain point you have to go, hey, I'm here for you, whatever you need. But that's the problem. I mean, like, That's the problem with trying to change someone. And it goes back to earlier in the email. We both looked at each other. We're like, this is over. 6 months, perfect at the beginning, shows his true colors. So then he's egging on my sober. And then you have to like, at what point do you listen? Now is the point you listen, obviously. But I'm saying, now we know better for next time. The guy who tries to get your sober boyfriend or your friend's sober boyfriend to drink.
Red flag.
Not a great guy. Immature. Yeah. Telling me that flowers don't make people feel better. Okay. Then we have different feelings on feelings. Like, him never making a move on me, but putting my hand on my dick. Like, that's obviously
insane. That to me was like a no. That's a red flag.
The thing about red flags is like, you start to see which ones taste worse to you. And it takes time. It takes learning and being with people and seeing that, oh, no, not doing this again. And, you know, we can chalk this up as like, thank God this happened over text so you didn't rip his fucking head off. Like, it's like,
literally. And also, like, I mean, yeah, I think, and now, like, moving forward, any other relationship you are in, like, you're going to notice and you're going to be aware of red flags like that.
That's the gift of a douche like this.
Always. And that's why, like, any relationship that you're in, like, nothing's a failure. You're just continuing to learn about yourself and what you want, and what you don't want, which is
absolutely. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Serena Kerrigan, thank you so much for coming on. This is fantastic.
I had so much fun. You're a genius. And oh, this is a great time. And let's go to Fiddlesticks when you come
back.
We gotta go.
I gotta go see the scene. It's been too long since I've been in that bar. Go follow Serena at Serena Kerrigan on Instagram. She's got Let's Fucking Date. That's the card game. Big announcement this Wednesday. Siesta Key on Wednesday as well. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Monday and Thursday. The Luxury Lounge. Keep sending your emails. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back next episode. Boom.